my name is Michael Kramer, and welcome to a podcast focused on the world of corporate real estate and everything that touches it. And that's never truer than in the world we're living in today. So I'm really pleased that I have Sheila Champion-Smeeth from Cisco, whose title is Global Head of Wellbeing, People and Communities. So we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about wellbeing and what that means within the corporate world and further afield. So Sheila, before we dig into this in detail, maybe you could give a short introduction to your role within Cisco. Now, what's at the heart of what you're being asked and challenged to do?
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael, for having me here today to talk about this topic. So, you know, if we think about a global head of wellbeing, what does that mean? You know, I would say probably 5 years ago, it would never be thought of, actually. Yeah. And I think I kind of pushed for the role within Cisco. We started working through what does the wellbeing strategy look like. And there's a lot of programmatic focus to it. But ultimately, the global head of wellbeing role in Cisco is there to enable individuals, families, and communities thrive in everything that comes at them during their working life, I would say, which is a pretty big task to have, quite honestly. And I think the interesting thing about it is that, you know, it's evolving over time. And I think, you know, people don't necessarily understand what well-being means, actually, Michael. So, you know, the importance of embedding the topic and the title within an organization like Cisco is huge, because we do need to focus on the well-being of our people. At the end of the day, our people are our most important asset in order to get the business done as well. So I'm delighted to have the role and very proud to take on that role within Cisco.
Great. And one sort of one follow-up question, I guess, to that. I'm right in saying it's a separate role to the HR function within Cisco. And also, can you maybe just comment what you mean by communities? Because certainly from a property point of view, that means something, and maybe what you're talking about means something slightly different.
Yeah, great question. So you probably think that the global wellbeing role doesn't fit within HR because of the terminology people and communities. What happened actually probably a couple of years ago now is that we transformed the title of HR to people and communities, because HR is a little bit of a historic way of thinking of human resources and personnel, if you like, and people. And we wanted to get to the heart of really talking about the people and the communities. And when we talk about communities, what we mean is it's the community that you have within a team, within an organization. It's a community that you have within the company, and the different, you know, whether that's the functional element, whether it's sales, whether it's engineering, research, or whether it's the communities that we support externally. And the communities externally is everything from our customers, the partners, through to those communities that we want to support as a business to help give back as well. So it covers a whole breadth of topics, actually, Michael, but so important to think about all of them.
Yeah, and of course, they're all interrelated, and that's what we should try and get into. So maybe to start the story or the journey, so to say, we can go back a few years. So let's talk pre-pandemic. And I certainly know from my own experience working with people like DuPont and BP a number of years ago, they talked about triple bottom line. So people, planet, profit, which I think touches on some of what you're talking about. But that term seems to have disappeared from view, so to say. But maybe, you know, what was happening in the world of well-being 5-10 years ago up until, I guess, the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I think what was happening is that people are scrabbling around almost to think about, okay, this topic of people and well-being is important. What do we do to pull together a strategy? And we start to think about slides on a page or words on a document. And people, you know, we were talking about physical, emotional, social, and financial well-being back then, I have to say. But I think that things have turned around so much further than that now. And if we think about people, not only do you have to think about the human being itself, but you have to think about the environment that they work in and the behaviors that almost you expect of the employees within an organization for themselves, but also for those around them as well. But, you know, before I think it was, you know, no, it's no more about kind of slotting programs into those elements of physical, emotional, social, and financial. And it's not about, oh, let's make sure that we've got a massage chair in our office or a bowl of fruit in the canteen. But it's really about how are we actually having this conversation from the moment a manager engages with an employee through to a team meeting where you're coming together through to a really big company meeting. How are we continuously talking about how our employees can thrive in the environment? So, you know, I think it was very programmatic before. And I really don't think that leaders were thinking about this topic as important, because to your point, you know, they're thinking about the profit, the numbers, what are we going to, you know, achieve to make sure the business continues to grow. But I think over time, we're realizing that unless you focus on the people and make sure that they have the tools and the resilience to be able to deal with things that come at them in life, then, you know, you're not going to be able to be successful as a business ultimately.
Wow. God, there's so many things in there I want to ask you about. So let me see if I can do it in the order you kind of went through it. So you mentioned environment. And so to be slightly parochial for a minute, from a property point of view, pre-pandemic, very few people were talking to me, to us, to the industry about well-being from an environmental point of view. I mean, they probably were around lighting and you know, the obvious things like lighting and heating, but it wasn't really anything more than that. So it was about being comfortable in the office from a physical point of view. So within Cisco, what's the connection between your role and the property group? Is there overlap? Are you talking to them a lot? Do they come to you and say, you know, how can we improve the environment, which is what we mean by environment? Or did you mean something completely different?
Oh, absolutely. I meant that, Michael. And, you know, I'm well aware of the podcast that you do. So, and do you know what? Over time, my passion in this space around well-being means that it connects to so many different areas. And one of the most important areas, and I'll talk pre-pandemic first, is as I went into the office space and as I traveled the world to different offices to visit, you know, different countries around Cisco, you know, I realized that the environment is just critically important to the success of how people work. And yes, of course, that physical element, what's the chairs like, what's the desk like, what's the space like, is important. But I realized more and more that, you know, I wanted to get some lunch. And when you go to the canteen or whatever, or maybe there wasn't a canteen, what are the things that you can even consume from a nutritional perspective to help fuel you through the day? So I realized that was a challenge. I also knew that, you know, I could see there were some lovely, you know, plants going across the buildings. And, you know, as I say, the massage chairs were popping up more and more. And there were these collaborative spaces starting to come about. But I did think that actually there is so much more we could do. And I also realized that our kind of facilities team was definitely working in a bit more of a silo to us. The gym spaces that some, you know, some countries had were, again, just put in place and not thought about from the total well-being perspective. And when I say total well-being, I do think about this isn't just the kind of physical element. This is the emotional and the social element to it as well. So, you know, if we think now kind of where we're at with the pandemic, I mean, that's transformed over time. And we are working so closely with the facilities team to make sure that we think about what's the future of how our people are even going to work. How are they going to come to an office and what do we want that experience to look like? And I keep saying, let's have the well-being of the people at the you know, forefront of our minds as we think about what that experience looks like. And then what are the physical aspects that we need to put in place for people as well? So the creative spaces, you know, again, are just so hugely important for people to come together, as well as the nutrition elements, the physical elements and the social elements to that as well. So, you know, it's definitely, and I'm just so appreciative of different functions. So you have the facilities functions, you have people and communities, HR, coming together, as well as our operational teams as well. So we have a big project going on and talking about the next generation workplace, really thinking about what do we need to be ahead of the game in order to ensure that the future of the workplace is going to be conducive to how people need to work based on their lifestyle needs as well.
Wow. Again, so much in all of that. I'm glad you kind of mentioned, it always struck me that having bowls of fruit or massage chairs was a sort of an afterthought and wasn't part of a well thought through strategy, and doesn't really begin to even scratch the surface on what the issues are. And then you've gone into this sort of, you know, what's happening post-pandemic. So much closer ties with real estate. But, you know, you mentioned emotional and social well-being. And I think that's really worth kind of unpacking a bit more, because I think these are the kind of harder to talk about and harder to identify issues, and what the reaction and what you can do as a employer and as a property person. So can you go into a little bit more detail around what you mean by, you know, under your total well-being hat, so to say, or comment, emotional and social aspects of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And just to touch, you know, the fruit bowls are really important, by the way, and the massage chairs. But ultimately, it's about where do you put those to make sure people actually realize, oh, maybe I should utilize that for some reason. So it's helping people understand first, or my well-being's important. And look, what the company's providing me, a lovely place to go and sit and relax for a bit, but make sure it's visible. Anyway,
just to cut across you, but how you put it where it's visible, and then I go and sit in it, and then how do you stop managers thinking, well, Michael sat there getting a massage, and that's a complete waste of time, and he should be working?
Exactly. Well, so now you're going into a bit of another topic in itself, Michael, which again is, we all have to support each other's well-being. And this is, it's absolutely something that comes up a lot. And, you know, if I see somebody sitting on a massage chair, taking a moment out to break, I think they are resting to recharge, to get back more productive. Now, of course, I am obviously perhaps in a minority thinking like that, but that's where I'd love us to get to, is that we don't judge people for taking time out to look after themselves and realize why they're doing that. But we think about it from a perspective of, this is them resting to recharge. Okay. So, you know, and it, you know, when I say about, you know, making sure they're visible, obviously they need to be in a quiet space, because you wouldn't want to be able to also relax a little bit. But it's the thought through, and to your point, it's like, we have to be clear about why we're putting these things in place for people, and then making sure that leaders or team members are motivating and giving permission. Yeah. It's a big, big, big thing about give permission to people, and do not judge when people are taking care of themselves, because you know what? They're going to be better for you in the long run, whether you're engaging them on a social one-to-one interaction or whether they're doing some work for you. So
there's two things on that. So, and then we'll come back to emotional and social, because I know I'm not going to lose sight of that. But so for me, do you look at it? So two questions around that. One is, how do you communicate? How do you communicate that to managers, that they need to give people permission? And how do you communicate that to staff? And then the second part of that is, do you have to build a business case for this? Do you have to have a return on investment case for it to work? Or are you persuading people in a different way?
Yeah. And this has evolved over time as well, Michael. So I would say that 5 years ago, again, I was absolutely having to pull together the business case, the return on investment, the statistics that show that this is important. And of course, that is important. However, I'm in a place now where I used to be going to the business saying, please, can I come and talk to you about this topic? And they'd be like, oh, not now, we'll do it in the future. Or, oh yeah, we'll give you five minutes on a 60-minute meeting where we're going to talk about business most of the time. To now where we're at is that I am overwhelmed with requests to go and talk to teams and to talk to senior leadership teams, let me say, about, you know, what is it that they can do for themselves first, and then what is it that they need to be thinking about for their teams as well. So, you know, this switch in mentality that, oh, that's probably something I don't need to think about, that fluffy topic around well-being, and really not understanding that it's not about the word well-being, but this is about how I how I ensure that my people are resilient to be able to deal with challenges that are going to come at them, and understanding people at the truest level. So the type of things and that, you know, really I'm doing is, how do you truly get to know people better? So what are you doing to have conversations where you're really getting to know people, understanding what's happening in their lives? What are the boundaries that people have in their lives that they need to stick to, whether that's childcare boundaries that they have, or whether it's taking time out for mindfulness practice that they need to do to rest and recharge, or what is it that, you know, they do from a personal perspective to keep themselves happy and motivated in life? And you have to understand that, you know, everybody, different people need different things at different times. And what that means is we have to be empathetic, and we have to put ourselves in different people's shoes to make sure that we can understand and meet people where they're at. And so that's the thing that I'm encouraging leaders and teams to do. And as I say, you know, from the moment that you have that one-on-one conversation with somebody, through to what's the discussion in team meeting, are we diving into the business topic straight away? Or are we just taking a moment to check in with one another? And are we, you know, being kind to each other if somebody has got a particular childcare issue, or the child's coming onto the screen, or the cat's on the screen and you're on a video call, or whatever it is? So you've just got to accept that that's what life is like now.
And I guess that, you know, and it's anecdotal, but I've seen, I mean, I'm curious that the managers are now coming to you saying, you know, okay, this is a serious topic. So I guess COVID has rammed that home to everyone. Because all we hear about in the news is one that the devastation is causing families and communities and individuals. And even if even if it hasn't done that, you've got childcare issues, or you've got kids at home who are trying to study for exams and all the stress and strain of that. So is the pandemic the reason that you're getting all these calls now, that the managers have kind of had to realize that this is crucial to their business?
Yes. So a couple of things. I think firstly, I'd love to say it was just because I took on the global head of wellbeing for Cisco in January, Michael. And then everyone was like, oh,
yeah.
You know, I'd love to say it was just related to that fact. And maybe there's a tiny little bit in that, but I do think it is related to the pandemic. And I just think that, you know, we've been able to get closer to one another, particularly in our environment. And I do realize, obviously, you know, obviously different businesses have different type of environments that everyone's working in. But listen, let's think about it. At the end of the day, from a pandemic perspective, we're talking more and more with each other about emotions, how we're feeling, the uncertainty of what it's bringing to us every single day. And also then, if you are in a business like Cisco, you're on videos like all throughout the day, and you do get to know basically where people are living and also the environment that they have. So the new work environment is now the home.
Yep.
What is it that some people are on their own having to deal with, you know, from a, if you're feeling isolated, or you don't even have a space within your home to work properly? And I'm talking, you know, obviously I deal across the globe, and there's many people across the globe who really just don't have that opportunity because they're working at home. So is their spouse, so are their children. And, you know, it becomes incredibly hard for people. So what I'd say is, you know, one thing I guess that's good that's come out of the pandemic is that we are focusing more on the lives of the individuals who work in companies and what they need. And also just getting to know each other a little bit more. So, yeah, I think people are asking me more to come and talk to their teams because, one, by the way, at the moment, they don't know how to, and they need that support. And that's what I want to change. I want them to be able to do it themselves in the future, which they will. But, you know, ultimately, it's, you know, that's the thing that I think has really exacerbated it.
So many interesting things in that. So if we kind of fast forward, so if we go into 21 kind of more optimistically and see that over the course of the year, the vaccines will sort of take hold, and so more people will be more able to go back to the office. You know, what our data shows us is things like well-being have taken a massive hit during the pandemic for all the reasons we've discussed. And we are looking at what we call a property ecosystem, which means that we think people will continue to work from home. They'll go back to the office. They may even go to a third place, which is nearer to home, so to cut down on commute times. You know, we got this huge climate issue going on, which is also affecting how people think about commutes to work. But we're going into a new way of working, and let's say it's across three or four different places, whereas pre-pandemic, it was really you were traveling or you were in the office, and you might work from home by exception. Do you see what you're doing then kind of quietening down because we get back to some sort of set stage of equilibrium? Or and how are you going to keep well-being in the forefront of those managers' minds when they think, oh, that problem's now solved, we've all had the vaccine, everyone should be fine now? Because I guess you can tell where I'm going. I'm hoping that isn't the case, because I think that would be wrong, but I'm curious what you think about that.
I am not going to let that happen, Michael. No, I'm not going to let it happen. You know what? I'm not sure. I think there, yes, of course, there's going to be pockets of that potentially happening, where some organizations may go back to the original environment. But do you know what? I just don't know that it can. I think a situation that we've all, you know, across the globe been through with this pandemic, I don't think it allows us to forget what we've actually been through. So I think there's an element of a lot of, you know, people wanting to return to normal, but I'm not sure that it's ever going to be the same again. But I don't mean that in a negative way. I actually think it's a more positive, because I think the way we have to think about this is, what is it that people now want to do in the future, particularly in the short term, as perhaps offices do start to open? But you really have to understand whether people feel comfortable or safe doing that, you know, for their own mental health perspective. If you think about somebody who really is concerned about going into an environment where there are more people around, let's say they haven't been able to have the vaccination for whatever reason, we have to be thoughtful about that and make sure that we're providing environments. So they're going to be different, and I do think this is important, that where we provide environments where people are almost able to choose what's most important to them. And imagine a world where you could have an environment where, you know, some people were working from home. You may have a hybrid approach where you have some people working from home for part of the time, and then you have like a kind of office space where people do come together. And then maybe you have, and when they come together, you really want to create those lovely collaborative spaces, as I talk about, with well-being at the heart of them. And then you want to have these more social, perhaps, gatherings where you come together at bigger groups when we're at that point that we're able to. And they're built for that. And they're built for that purpose. So I think there's a lot of work that needs to go on right now to think about what's the future really need to look like. And let's not go back to how it used to be, because I'm just not sure that it was particularly healthy. And I'm also not sure we were all that productive working in that way either. So, you know, I think that this is an opportunity to really think, what was good for us as human beings? What do we take from that to make sure that we create the environments that are going to really help us thrive together as well?
Do you think in that, there's a couple more questions, and then maybe we can wrap up. But I'm really interested, how do you think of, I mean, I think we all instinctively get the idea of well-being. And if we didn't pre-pandemic, you're kind of saying everyone does now, which makes a lot of sense. How do you relate the idea of well-being to productivity? Or maybe you don't have to, because you said all the managers are now calling you and asking what they can, you can do. So you've kind of, you know, you're in that great situation where you're not having to explain the rationale, but you're helping them. Is that just going to continue, do you think? Or do you have to, do we think to make well-being front and center in the environment, as you're suggesting, and I'd agree, we have to somehow measure the negative effects of it?
Do you know, I think that there is a need, you know, to have some level of further understanding for a lot of people, because I'm not saying that everybody truly believes this is an important topic yet, unfortunately, but they, you know, but I do think there's a level of further research and understanding. And we are looking at something right now within our organization, because, you know, for me, I do want to be able to show that when you focus on your well-being, you are able to be more engaged and therefore more productive in the work that you do, and also a better person for your family at home as well and loved ones, which is even more important. Now, how you measure that is really hard, quite honestly. And of course, there's been loads of studies in the past that you look at productivity, whether it's related to absenteeism or presenteeism, etc. But it's not enough just to look at it from that perspective. So I think a huge amount of research has to go into this to think about how do we actually show when somebody is focusing on themselves and their well-being and they've got practices in place, how does that truly impact their engagement and productivity? But of course, you're going to have to do that over a period of time. And the other thing I'd also just say is, and then this is personal to me as well, once you start to focus on this topic and you have ways of bringing it into your everyday life from a well-being perspective and the choices that you make each day, and I'm not saying they're always perfect, of course, Michael, but, you know, when you start to do it, it's almost like you can't get rid of them. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're doing a diet or, you know, a program that's a 21-day program perhaps, if you only do those things, they won't last forever. But if you put some small, simple practices into your everyday life, then you're not able to get rid of them usually if you keep going, you know, every single day and keep switching them up a bit and have a bit of variety in how you can make them different. So I think the, you know, future is definitely there. I think compassionate leadership is really important. And I think, you know, kindness to ourselves and kindness to other people is just, you know, has to happen more and more.
Wow. And Sheila, I could talk to you about this all day long, as you know. We've had some really interesting conversations before we got on the podcast. And I was going to ask you about compassionate leadership, because it seems to me that's a lot of where this is pointing. But maybe we can come back and talk about that another day. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing this. And, you know, I think in another 6 months or 3 months even, there'll be a lot more to say on this subject. And it's really interesting to hear how you and Cisco are tackling what is, you know, such a big topic. So, and from a property point of view, you know, it's become front and center in a lot of what we're now trying to figure out and do. So with that, thank you very much for joining, and hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. Really appreciate it. I'd love to be back. Thank you.